obviously Pastor Leonard is gone. I love having the kids in here. It's awesome. This is Memorial Day week, and before I get into my message, when we were back there praying before the service, Corey prayed something, and it just reminded me, we are so blessed in this country, and I hope every now and then you step back and just realize and appreciate the sacrifices made on our behalf for this country, and what so many people have died defending our way of life and what we believe. And just from Corey said it in there in a prayer that in a greater way, we need to really understand what God has done for us. You know, it's just Memorial Day needs to be a reminder of those who've sacrificed for us. But there's no greater sacrifice than what was done on the cross. And he laid down his life for us. Man, we were not worthy. There is nothing we could have done to have deserved it, earned it. And he loved us anyway. And wow, that's just overwhelming to me to think that God would love us like that. And let me just say first of all that being a Christian's not for the wimps. Yeah, would you agree? Especially in today's society. And we really have to struggle with some stuff because here's the deal. We're at war. And unfortunately, Christians believe we're at war with people. And we're not. We got to get out of our head that we're at war with people and what they believe. No, we're at war with Satan and the lies he's telling people, right? If we could just understand that we're at war, and remember, it's not at war of people. And just know that attacks sometimes are very subtle. They're not always the in-your-face, blow you up, your life is turned upside down, you're fired, you're going to divorce. Those things happen, and they're tough, but it usually starts where I believe Satan does. He attacks in the little things first. And we need to recognize that and understand that. And then sometimes we have to deal with our own failures, don't we? And so I say all that because Christians, we need each other. We it doesn't matter if you're being attacked by someone from the outside. You're at war and you're just going through, because we go through it, don't we? All of us go through different things. We need each other when we're going through those difficulties and hardships. And it was interesting. Being alone is a terrible thing. And I think one is the loneliest number. I gave that to Jen. And she's like, man, that song was stuck in my head the whole week. Three Dog Night, one is the loneliest. Yeah. We know that. But we know that. Isn't it funny that we have to have a song to remind us it's terrible to be alone? It's a silly thing. And, it's interesting. We watched The Voice in our house and American Idol. And, in American Idol, they have this hometown or homecoming, whatever they call it, where they go back to their house after weeks of being through this grueling process, and the final four, I think, go home. And it's really interesting. All their families and friends are there, but there's one guy this year. How many guys watch American Idol? Yeah. Did you notice the Alejandro? Some of them mouthed it. It was very intriguing to me that there wasn't a single family member. There wasn't a single friend. The person he had with him was a nephew that was there. And it just made me wonder. I don't know. He may have a wonderful, his parents may have died. He may not had any family there, but he didn't share it. He didn't say anything. It just, he left it up to us to say, oh my gosh, where's everybody at? But I just kind of cringed. I felt alone for him. It was just one of those things where when someone is truly alone, it's difficult to be alone. And it's interesting because the pastors, or myself and Pastor Leonard and Christine and Jen, every week we do some video or a Bible study every week on Tuesdays and staff. And this week we did a video and the guy spoke about Ecclesiastes 4. And so that's what I'm going to speak to because it really struck a chord with me. Some of the simplest principles in God's word this is one of those easy no-brainers, but yet we somehow either avoid it, don't trust it, or I don't know what our reasoning is in our head, but we are afraid or too busy or something to really draw into what Ecclesiastes 4 says. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in verse 7. And I don't know why I'm starting in verse 7 other than whoever wrote this, which we believe it was Solomon, King Solomon, at the end of his life, after his experience, and supposed to be the wisest man. That's what is believed to be the author of this. He says in verse 7, so he's already gone through one bit of thing, 1 through 6 says, again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. It doesn't make sense. And then he goes right into it saying, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Then he quotes saying, for whom am I toiling, he asks, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. He says this, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them fall down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to come help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Then it goes on. A cord of three is not quickly broken. Interesting scripture verses. A man, and he's all alone. He works. He's wealthy, he's busy, he's focused on his life. I'm going to make it, I'm going to make money, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to do all this stuff, but he is miserable because he's all alone. Two is better than one. Guys, I can say this. It is a matter of fact, I used to say, and I still believe wholeheartedly, that secret sin is going to be the death of the church. We want to be so private. We don't want people into our life and into our business, do we? I don't want you to know what's going on with me. But see, here's the deal. If you have someone close, if there's somebody that is with you, if the attacks come, let me rephrase that. When the attacks come, you have someone to stand with you. And sometimes they're just standing behind you, holding you up, right? Sometimes when you're getting hit hard and there's nothing anybody can do, you're grieving or something's going on, they're just there to hold you up. Sometimes they get to step between you and the attack. I've had friends, guys, I feel like I'm one of the most blessed men in the world. And I'm looking backwards in my upbringing and my childhood. And I had friends, guys, that absorbed so many of the blows that were coming at me. And I have friends who stood behind me when I fell flat on my face. You know what they did? What do you need? They're not just standing behind me. They got down on their knees in the dirt and the muck where I was at and lifted me up and helped me up. Woe to the person who's all by themselves, what God's word says. In other words, if you're all by yourself and you're a believer. Now here, I want to differentiate this. I'm forgetting my notes. Forget that thing. There is a humongous difference between having friends who are not believers and friends who are believers. In other words, there's some of you out here who have lots of people in your life and you're talking about this and that and everything's good and you think it's wonderful, but there's nobody who's going on the same path that you are. And it is not talking about the world friends. It's talking about people who are Christians who love you. You can weigh out who the real Christians are when you have tragedy or when you go through difficulties and failures. Okay? If somebody truly loves you, they're going to be with you. And I think it's so easy for us to get caught up in, especially us men. Our friends are our work crew. That's who we are. The people we rub shoulders with, that's what we do. I love coming by the church this last, I think it's Thursday night. There's a men's group meeting here. Just men. And I loved seeing 7 or 8 cars out in the parking lot. I thought to myself, wow. Because men don't do that. I think women desire it and they want it, but I've learned this because of my wife. They get busy and they too are too busy to develop relationships. And I'm telling you right now, woe to the person who tries to do the Christian faith on their own. See, in Genesis 2:18, God said when he created man, it's not good for man to be alone. And yes, we use that because he created woman. I think it was more than just a male, female. Just to be alone is not a good thing. And it's difficult. This is a difficult message because I have at least one friend who struggles severely with anxieties to the point where it's crippling. He loses jobs. He can't get out of his house. I encourage this guy all the time, come to church, man. And he's like, I want to. It's just, he gets all, you know, nervous and everything. He needs people. Guys, we need each other. For us to try to live this faith alone, it's crazy. I got to try to find out where I was at. Who is it that you have whispering into your ear? When you have, you know, I think the reason we're so far off track as Christian in most of the churches is that we're listening to people we shouldn't be listening to. We have people, I don't want to pick on any sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is in society. And when I say that, if you're a Christian, you've got to hang on to what God's word says. Not the logic the person next to you is saying how God's word doesn't mean that. It means this because, and they get, because God loves everybody. And you go, absolutely, he loves everybody. But you know what God does? He set a standard for those who follow him to be different from the world, to be pulled out from the world. And because I believe in what God's word says and what it says for me to live, I am going to have to live differently than you are. That doesn't change the fact that I love you. It doesn't change anything, but when you are called to be his disciple and you choose that path to follow him, then you are going to live a life that's different than what the world is saying. And they can have all the logic they want. They can have all the science they want behind it. They can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter. You've got to listen to God's voice. And if you can surround yourself with people who will encourage you to trust God when it seems illogical, when it seems even wrong and backwards, then you got a greater chance of not being beat up by the world, beat up by Satan. But see, the problem is because we're so private, because we want to do our Christian faith on our own, we don't want people into our business. We don't want people into our life. We want to do it ourselves. And you know I'm struggling with this. I'm working on this. And in the meantime, I'm getting pounded by so many things. We have nobody there. I know this for a fact because I deal with teenagers. I deal with my son who's in college. And they talk about these issues that are going on in the world right now. And they talk about the issues about how do we deal with this? What do we do with it? And it's a simple process to me. And that is this. Trust God in what his word says. And then back each other up. We don't have to go out there and fight each other fight everybody for the things we believe in. But you know what I need to do? I need to pull up next to Ian. I need to pull up next to my daughter, Taylor, everybody in this room, John. I need to pull up next to them. And when they start going off a little bit, what real love and what brotherly love is, bro, what's going on? Let's not wait till people walk off the cliff. You know, that's what we tend to do. We wait till somebody crash and burn, then we do one of two things. Christians walk away from them because we're ashamed or embarrassed, or we're holier than thou. We walk away, turn our back on them, or talk about them, right? That's what we do. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to walk with them, go pick them up, encourage them, help them. You know, I made a list. I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not, but I was trying to think of when we need friends the most. They're probably the times that are opposite of when we think it is. We need the friends the most. Those teenage years, man, when you've got somebody in your ear. I was talking to parents who are We have a group of kids coming up into sixth grade, and I was trying to tell the parents, listen, your kid needs to get in the youth group. Because the world and school and their neighborhood, they're all going to be telling them how they ought to live. They're going to tell them. And see, what happens to a lot of teenagers is mom and dad's like, oh, I'm too busy, or I have basketball on that night, or I have football, I have soccer. There's always something, music, dance, gymnastics, I hear it all. And I keep thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what's going to happen when they start listening to those voices instead of the voices we're trying to teach? You know, the purpose of youth group, I want them to know God's word. I want them to know who God is. But more than anything, I want to balance what the world is continually telling them and saying to them. Continually loving them. Continually knowing that we're going to love them no matter what. But here's what God has called you and how he has called you to live. And it's going to be hard. We don't sugarcoat it. We talk about it. It's hard to follow Jesus. Because all your friends are saying, do this. And I'm telling you right now, God's word says, do this, and he will bless you. You just got to trust him. See, we've got to learn to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit in us. But some of us aren't mature enough to really hear it. So we've got to know the people in our lives that we're surrounding are going to give us the advice and direction that we're supposed to be hearing. That is biblical. And that's what we try to do in youth group. So the teenage years, man, it's a big one. When you get into college, yeah, that's busy. I remember my son talking about his college days, College of the Ozarks. He'd get up at 5 a.m. To have practice, 5, and then he'd have class at like, I don't know, it was 9. But he had all this workout stuff first. Then he had 9 o'clock class, and then he went home and took a nap. But he didn't get home till, it was some crazy, 1 o'clock in the evening, because then he went to work and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, son, there's never been a time that you needed God more than this time. The busiest times you have, that's when you push into God and you make sure you have people around you who love you enough to say you're starting to get off base, starting to walk a little to the left instead of being on the path, starting to walk a little to the right instead of staying on the path that God has called you. Then I kept thinking, I said, you know what another big time where you need friends is? When you have children. Moms, it's so easy to isolate then. So, because you're overwhelmed. Man, I praise God when Ashley and Corey and Travis and Caitlin, they have these little babies, and I just praise God I'm not in that stage of my life. Because it's exhausting. I do. And I look at Caitlin there to just chase an AJ everywhere. Go, go, go. Corey and Ashley have kids going both directions. I'm like, oh, I remember those days. It was so tiring. And you know what? We think, I am too busy. I am too busy to develop, to work on, to be with other women who can love me and encourage me. But there's not a greater time in your life than you need support than during that time. Then as they raise kids to get into teenage years, man, raising teenagers is work. It isn't the same kind of work. The sleepless nights aren't because a baby's crying in the other room. The sleepless night is just praying over their lives, the decisions they will make. The decisions that they have to make each day are hard. And we live in a world that's trying to convince them to live one way. And so as parents, we need others in our life. We need, if you have a teenager, you need to be in a life group, period. Our life group that we were at up in Missouri, my wife and I, we were involved in, man, their kids went through crazy things. Crazy things. And I remember being a life group, getting ready to share, and they just opened up. And we took our lesson and pushed it aside, said it doesn't matter. We ministered to them, we loved on them, and we fought with them. See, I'm actually, is Michael, where'd you go, Michael? No, Michael. Where you got, Michael? You're pointing. Oh, there you are. Come here, Michael. Ian, come here. I'm going to do a little illustration for you, all right, if you don't care. I'm going to grab a couple more people. Brinkley, come here a second, please. Oh, Lauren. Come here, Lauren. Yeah. All 75 pounds, soaking wet. You need to be the one right in the middle, okay? This is what's happened, okay? The world, Ian, you get to be the one who's kind of pushing on her and dealing with her, okay? Come on, come here, give her a shove. She can handle it. She's tough, okay? Listen, this is what happens, right? The world comes after us. The world hits us. And then what happens is after a while, that beats us down. And next thing you know, if this just keeps going and going and going, she's going to fall on her face. She's going to give up. She's going to quit on it. But what happens? Miss Brinkley, come stand between them. Actually, not stand between them. Just hold on to her with her. Just put your arm around her and hug her just as friends. Okay, now push Lauren. Okay, whoa. No, that's good. No, keep going. Okay, the world doesn't just get easier just because we have a friend, right? Right? Just because we have somebody with us, the world says, oh, I'll go a little easier on you now. That ain't the way it works out. Go ahead, hold her up. You got to be strong, girl. Okay? Give her a push without killing her. Okay, big guy? Go ahead. Do it again. Come on. Push it. Right? It's a little easier to strong. Michael, can you kind of balance them both? Stand behind him and just kind of hang on to her. Yeah, okay, just hang on. You're going to have to hold her. Come on, give her a little push. All right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it ain't going anywhere, is it? Push from behind. All right, yeah. Yeah. See, this is what God's word is illustrating. You guys can go sit down. In Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, poor Lauren, right? Woe to the person who is standing here taking it all by themselves. Woe to the person who's having to do it all by themselves. Two. It's better than one. Two, we can support each other. We can love each other. We can hold each other up. Life is going to happen at us. And then he just has a quick saying. A cord of three? Man, that's not easily broken. Three people, even better. And if you want to do something fun, read past that. It's a weird kind of story about the king. The king, the man in charge, right? Afterwards, it talks about how the king, once again, once he gets old, stands off by himself, thinks he's too wise and too good for everybody. And there's the young guy who comes out of prison, who grew up in the city where the king is over authority. And it says that he's covered with throngs of people. Interesting placement of that statement in the Bible. Because in my heart, how awesome it is to have a lot of people who are there for you, who love you, who walk with you, who care about what you're going through. When you get attacked, it's not just poor, who was it, Brinkley holding her up, but it's got Michael. And then we get Jordan over here who's big and he could get around her. And then we get a bunch and we got 20 people. And then you know what? And Ian comes out, he has to get a full-on run to make the pile even move. But I want you to know something. Some of the things we have to deal with is a full-on run. And if you're all by yourself, it's going to take you down. It's going to take you down. It's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Are you looking out for those who have your interest? I have a whole bunch of scripture verses I'm going to read, and then we're gonna sing again. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to develop Christian friends. Man, step out of your shell. Step out of your comfort. That's why I believe life group. Life group is so important. This Friday night or Thursday night men's Bible study, there's all kinds of places where you can go and surround yourself with others who will love you, who will walk with you. When you hear the world say, you should live like this, they can balance out and say, no, this is what God's word says. Trust God's word. And this is a lot of scripture, guys. I'm not going to hurry through them. But, you know, I only use one section to illustrate the importance of having others. But listen to this. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the other. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited. Romans 1:11-12. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. John 15:12-13. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for one's friend. Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. 1 Peter 4:8-9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then Ecclesiastes 4:9, once again, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Acts 2:44-47. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Let's see, did I do this one? Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have any grievance against someone, forgive. I think I already did this, didn't I? Yeah, that's good enough. Lots and lots of verses that say we need each other. The world continues to throw things at us, and we have to know that Satan's desire is to knock us. I'm going to get her music. Knock us off our feet. And I just want to encourage, even though it should be an obvious thing for us, this is one of the simple principles of God's word. Should be obvious and simple, but I know for a fact that many of you are trying to walk out this faith, this journey alone. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us. God, I am grateful for the people in my life. God, I am grateful for those that you've sent my way to show me how I should live, and Lord, who have stepped in and helped me when I fell on my face or I had attacks come in from sides that I just couldn't handle, Lord. And I just pray that each one of us would know, first of all, that we could trust you and that your word is there for us, that you're not trying to make life hard for us, but God, you're trying to help us truly understand your great, amazing love for us. So God, I just pray that each person would consider the people around them. Who are the voices they're hearing in their heads? God, they'd learn to trust you and follow you. In your son's name, amen.